Now, there's nobody more fearful about seeing two ladders on the stage and me in front of them than my mum. What's my boy up to, she's thinking. I hope she's not going up those ladders. It's okay, Mum. I read in the Bible somewhere that there was like all these angels that would catch Jesus when if he fell off the top of the temple when he was being tempted. So I reckon they're here today. So we'll be right. Not planning to fall. Ko te wehi ki te atua. Me whakakorea tongo ingoa e ngā waka katoa. Regards to our Creator, glorify his name for all times. He is risen. He is risen. And I woke up this morning quite excited about the fact that he is risen. I didn't get up at 6 o'clock and go to the top of the hill, but he's still risen. And regardless how I feel today, he is risen. Regardless of what's going on in my life, he is risen, and he is risen indeed. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa, ko puki atua te maunga, ko wānia marati awa, ko puki atua te marae, ko Calvary, ko te ati awa te whānau, ko Mark toko ingoa, ko wānia marata ahau, nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Easter. Now, it doesn't really matter whether you believe Easter should be celebrated or not. He's still risen. And it's like the Queen's birthday is now suddenly the King's birthday. How does that work? Neither of them were born on that day, but it is a day where we get to celebrate, think about them, and we do that together. The whole world gets together on, we get a public holiday, a paid holiday on that day. That's pretty cool. So regardless of what your feelings about Easter, whether it's a pagan festival or whether it's just a time where we can come together and acknowledge the fact of what God did for us. What sort of cost did God give? What sort of cost did it have for him to do what he did for us? It's not rhetorical. What sort of cost did it have? Yeah. The cost. So Jesus, who was before eternity with God, is God, suddenly here was separated from God for that moment in time. For something that he had known for all of eternity beforehand. In that moment, he lost. See, God, the cost for God was immense. The cost for God was everything. What's the cost for us? Is there a cost for us? Again, it's not rhetorical. Is there a cost for us? When we come to that point and we walk through the other side today, Jesus raised from the dead, walked on the other side. That eternity that he knew beforehand was restored. What's the cost for us? I don't know, I hear you thinking. So, Easter Sunday. He's been tried, he's been convicted, crucified, he's dead and buried, and now he is risen. We're going to get there. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Does that sort of excite you a little bit? That God is praying for us, it excites me. He went through all of that so that you could experience freedom. A free gift, I once heard it was. The free gift of Christ. And they had a box with it, and it was all wrapped up like a present. And when you undid the ribbons, it fell out into a cross. And back in my OAC days. And it was a free gift, and all we had to do was take it. Well, I took it. I'm not sure if it was a free gift. There was certainly a cost. What is the cost of the cross for us today? The cost is this: your connection with Jesus Christ. See, your connection with Jesus will connect you with your identity, which will connect you with your dreams, which will connect you with your direction for life. Oswald Chambers once wrote, "The destiny of every human being depends on his relationship to Jesus Christ. It is not his relationship to life or his service or his usefulness, but simply and solely on his relationship to Jesus Christ." So the cost of coming to the cross and walking through is relationship with Jesus. The cost is following Jesus. The cost is doing what Jesus tells us to do. Right, now this is where it gets tricky. I'm going to try and hold this, hold the microphone, stay balanced, and hope that the angels are there to catch me if I fall. So I got these two letters. The first thing I noticed when I walked in is what had my name, M. I actually scratched that in the concrete of my mum's garage when I moved into their garage, and the concrete was all wet. I put M, and then I put the W on the top, and it didn't matter whether you walked in one way or you walked out, it said MW. She's scowling at me now. It's still there to this day. We no longer live in the house, but my initials are still etched into the concrete. So I got these two letters. I'm going to have this one is going to represent God, and this one is going to represent the world as we look at the cost. See, as we start life in the world, we're sort of in the middle. But you can't procrastinate here. You can't languish here. You can't stay here for all of your life. In this reality, you've got some choices to make. So I'm on the world. For some people, the world is Monday to Monday, every day. They live on this ladder. For some people, it's from Sunday lunchtime after they've been to church till the following Sunday morning when they go back to church. They're on this ladder. You see, after church, I go out and I begin to enjoy the things of this world. I begin to enjoy the pursuits of this world with all its trappings, the drinking, the relationships that are all outside of the blessings of God. Careers, possessions, all those things that we have that keep us entertained. All those seemingly wonderful things. Mum's looking down at the floor. She doesn't want to watch me on the ladder. See, all those various things that I get into, all the things I'm excited about doing, I'm proud of doing. And all the time I'm doing it in such a way that anybody that's on... Sorry, my arm overextended. See, all the people that are on that ladder can't see what I'm doing. And I do that deliberately because I don't want them to see what I get up to. Because the last thing you want is for someone that's going after the things of God up this ladder and looking ahead to what God has to offer. So what do? I don't want them to see it. I begin to withdraw. I'm jesting with you because I get a giggle. So I withdraw from them because they weren't really my friends anyway. They aren't interested in the things that I'm interested in. So I become very selective about what I post on my social media. I become very selective of who can see the photos and the posts that I'm putting up. I get around other people who think the same way I do, that indulge in the things I indulge in and want to do the things I want to do. They become more important than the friend that is over on the friend that's over there looking up, climbing the steps of the ladder towards all that God has for them and all that God wants them to be, all that God created them to be. when I'm over here, I begin to pursue the things of the world in such a way that this becomes my identity. This becomes who I am. How people like me, how they accept me, how they respond to me. And that really determines what I see about myself. So I'm very interested in those in the world that think about what I'm doing, how I look and what I say. Oh, it's Sunday morning. Sunday morning comes around, church, or maybe I'm just rostered on. And you know, my act of service for the people on this ladder for me to see. They can see me doing my bit. So guess what happens? We make that step towards God. I go to worship, and worship is great. I begin to sing, and I begin to connect with the Lord. I can feel Him. I can feel His reality. I begin to hear the message, and I'm grateful for that. Man, I even begin to take notes. And guess what? If you take notes, you get to have a couple more steps on the ladder towards God. I wasn't picking on you. But thanks for showing me you're taking notes. You get one more rung on the ladder. So you go to a small group and you experience some accountability. You begin to experience some openness and a connection with God. God begins to move in a very significant way in your life, powerful way in your life. And you're like, this is where I want to be. This is where I want to go. I want to find out all that God has for me. I want to keep climbing this ladder. All of a sudden, beep, beep, notification on your cell phone. It's from a buddy. Oh, that's really funny. It is really funny. It's a little bit inappropriate, but it's funny. Or it's an image you shouldn't be looking at, something you shouldn't focus on. Or it's an invitation to indulge with someone who has no idea what God is or who God is, or maybe it's someone that's in the same place as you are, the same letter. See, it's pretty good over here. I like the stuff over here. Then all of a sudden, beep, beep, you get a notification. Oh, it's one of those sermon clips. You know, those little things that come on, give you about 45 seconds of a clip. And guess what happens? You find yourself suddenly in this place where you are really far up. So it maybe got a bit higher because remember you took notes. Scary, eh? It should be. If this is where you are, you should be scared. See, we want to walk and get the experience of God and all that He has to offer, but we will never get there. We can never reach there because we still have a foot over here in the world. There is a cost to the cross. You've got to this point now where you have to make a choice. You can't go any further, or you probably could if you're a little bit more stretchy than I am, but braver. But it's so hard to live in this middle. Am I going to choose the things of this world? Am I going to choose the things of God? And guess what? If I choose this way, I'm going to be fully committed, going to give it 100%. Or am I going to choose the things of God and be fully committed? Give it 100%. Is this your life right now? It was easier to stay balanced and hold all this in, I thought. See, somehow we think that God doesn't see what we're doing. Doesn't see that we're one foot on this side, one foot on this side. It's not going to end well. As you try and go up the ladder,
one weekend with God, one with the world,
things are getting a bit dicier and dicier as you go up. See, one ladder is going to lead you to all that you have, that God has for you. One ladder is going to lead you to success in God's kingdom. One ladder is going to lead you towards being able to fulfill and find the destiny and the plan God has for your life. The other ladder takes you away from that. It takes you to destruction. 1 John 2:15 to 17 from the New Literal Translation says, "Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away, along with it everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever." The resurrection that we're celebrating this morning, that we can share it. This shows us the two destinations are, is one to destruction and one's to good. One to fullness, one to emptiness and brokenness. And we see that in our world today. The answer is not 42. I can see some recognition out there. The answer is not 42. The answer is Jesus Christ. He is the only answer to life, the question of life. So I understand that coming to something that you don't understand can be scary, because it's all you see. Sometimes all you can see is rules and regulations, prohibits few from doing things. But you've been lied to, because when you get close to Him and can feel Him, you'll understand that life is so much more, has so much more to offer. And we have been invited into that life. Oh, I've been a Christian since 1999. And the adventure, oh my goodness. And the rewards, oh my goodness. There's been hard times, absolutely. But Christ and His life and everything that He's promised on the cross has got me through this far. And it's going to get me through the next far. And it's going to get you that far as well. See, people have this idea that Christianity is this tame lifestyle of following the rules and the world's going crazy and we're the ones that have to carry the revelation of God. Well, that part is true. We do carry the revelation and the power of God with us. All the things that are putting pressure on us, all the troubles, the concerns and the worries that we have, the inability to know who to trust, the inability to know what to believe, it's all real. They're all real concerns and struggles and things that we all have. Absolutely. But do you know what? It's all lies. The real power is in the truth. And I'm not talking about a truth, or your truth, or my truth. I'm talking about the truth. Because the Bible says, "You shall know the truth, and it shall set you free." Now, John 8:31 to 36 says, "So Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in Him, 'If you abide in My word, hold fast to My teachings, and live in accordance with them, you are truly My disciples.'" Jesus is talking about our cost of the cross. "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, "We are Abraham's offspring, his descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone. What do you mean you will set us free?" And Jesus said, "I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, whoever commits and practices sin is the slave of sin. Now a slave does not remain in the household permanently forever. The son of the house does remain forever. So if the son liberates you and makes you free men, then you are really and unquestionably free." I found that meeting Christ, I had the freedom to say no. Whereas when I lived in the world, because of expectation of the world and everyone I was hanging around with, it was really difficult to say no. All of a sudden I met Christ and I had the power to say no to temptation, no to going out and getting drunk with my mates, no to selling tinny, no to doing the drugs, no to hanging around with the people that are doing crime. I suddenly had freedom to make that choice. But not only did I have the freedom, I had the Holy Spirit within me that gave me the power to walk in it. How does it work though? How do I get this unquestionably free? Well, the key was in the beginning. If you abide in my word. If you abide in my word. If you accept and act in accordance with my word was the key to having the truth revealed that will set you free. There is a cost. You can open your eyes now, Ma. I've got two containers here. Just like I had two letters, but this one doesn't make my initials. This one's God, this one is us. That's how God intended us to be, the same, in unity with each other, looking the same, sharing the same experiences, walking with each other. I get so jealous of Adam and Eve, because they said God walked in the garden with them. Oh, goosebumps. His garden looks better than mine. But something happened, something came in and took away what God had intended. You know, there was one tree. I got something in this container. Who can tell me what that says? Who can see that? Sin. I got it all boxed up in this container, all of it. Look. Look what it's done to the bottle. It's turned it black. I should probably put gloves on. We'll get some of that out there. So Adam and Eve, all God said was, you can eat of any tree except one. And what did they do? They ate of the one tree. And slowly but surely, that which God had intended to be the same was now scarred, marked, and different. See, sometimes we think that all the wrong things we do don't make a difference when we're standing on this ladder and one foot on this ladder. This is still there. See, when I go to church, and I've got this jar full of God here, so when I go to church, I get closer to God, so we can put some God in there and that will miraculously disappear. As you can see, miraculously. Just drinking some God, it's real good. Oh, it hasn't gone. Oh, yeah, sorry. I've got to go to church and I've got to worship. So we'll put some worship in there. And now, as you can see, because of my going to church and my worship, all of that stuff that separates us from God, all the wrong things we do, our wrong thoughts, attitudes, and behaviors, is gone. Oh, what am I missing? Of course, I've got to go to church, I've got to pray. So we put some pray in there, and as you can see now, because I'm worshipping God, going to church and praying, that's all gone from my life. Oh, must still be missing something. Am I not praying hard enough? Hang on, I'll just put a bit more. Oh, hang on, I forgot. I've got to take notes. There we go, take some notes. Oh, yeah, good works. I've got to do good deeds. Got to do good things out there in the community. That'll do it. Mate, what's going on there? Yeah, we did really well. So there's God and there's us. See, God can't let this stuff in. That's why Jesus had to give everything on the cross. See, Jesus was punished so that we could be forgiven. Jesus was wounded so that we may be healed. Jesus was made sin, this, because of our sinfulness, that we might be made righteous with his righteousness. Jesus died our death so that we might receive his life. Jesus was made a curse that we may enter into the blessing. Jesus endured our poverty that we might share in his abundance. Jesus bore our shame that we might share in his glory. Jesus endured rejection that we might have acceptance with the Father. Jesus was cut off by death. Remember that moment when he wore our sin, cut off for the first time in eternity. I've no idea what that would have been like. Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Anguish, crying out. In that moment, he felt it. That we might have acceptance from the Father. Jesus was cut off by death that we would be joined to God eternally. Our old man, our old life, was put to death so that in him, that new man, would come to life in us. And if you want the scriptures for those, I have them here. Thank you, Derek Prince, for that. See, the people of the world need to see you here. If you are here and have nothing to offer that they can't get themselves at no cost. See, if you're in the middle, or I better grab my notes, otherwise I'll get lost and then we'll go for hours. Sorry for the tapping of the microphone. I was wondering how we were going to do these balancing tricks. See, the people of the world can't see you here. If you are here, you have nothing to offer God and you have nothing to offer the world. But if you're willing to show them God doing his best in you by taking notes on a Sunday, you're showing the world that you have been forgiven. You're showing the world that he's covered you with his righteousness, because he sees all the right in his son that cloaks you. He died so that you could have life, not a mediocre, boring, same as everyone else living, but life and life to its fullest. A vibrant life, one that is growing you from the inside out, growing your knowledge, experiences, discovering your purpose. He became a curse that you could enter into his blessing. What around you is pulling that down from you, that is eating away at your resolve, that holds you in despair, or that you are breaking free? What stops you breaking free from addictions, bad habits? He was hated and abused so that you could know his love, his acceptance, and his peace. He endured our poverty, became lowly, poor carpenter, being ruled over by and being held captive by the Romans, so that you could experience his abundance in all areas of your life. He bore our shame so that we would share his glory. He suffered and endured rejection so we could experience acceptance by the Father. The darkness in that container there is all the pain we feel, the punishment we deserve, all our wounds, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. It's all our sin and death that we carry. This darkness is every curse that has been said over you and that you've said over yourself. It's all the poverty you experience. Poverty in experience, poverty in love, lacking in ability. It's every area of your life where you think you have failed, haven't measured up. It is financial. It's everywhere that you feel that you're less than. This darkness is everything that you have wished you never did or wished you could change. The guilt from doing wrong. The shame of not being who others expected you to be. For not being who you want to be. All the shame and failures throughout your life. It's the shame you felt through the abuse you suffered and the shame for not being able to help somebody else that had been through that same abuse. It's the rejection you felt when turned away by others, when you didn't measure up, when someone else got the job, the promotion, the windfall, the award. It's every lie that Satan has sent your way that has had you living less than how God intended you to be. This darkness is every part of you that is in opposition to what God wants and has for you. Worship team, if you can come up. This is why the cross. It has bridged the void between the natural and the supernatural. The earthly places and the heavenly places. It has enabled you and God to be one, to be united together. It has enabled you to walk in healing without shame, knowing you are accepted, loved, cherished, that your life, that your past life cannot hold you back to the life you have in Christ. The cost is getting out of that impossible position, standing in both worlds. The cost is getting on the ladder with God. You see, you have been chosen for a time such as now. When you accept all that Jesus did on the cross, you have been chosen by God for a time such as now. Everything that and everyone in your individual world needs to know Christ is real for 2024. God made you for now. The victory isn't when Christ comes back, because the victories are available to you now. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Today, the kingdom is here. Where is it? It's in you. The kingdom of God is in you. It is on earth as it is in heaven. It is inside you. His will being done through you today, not later. I think sometimes we're waiting for this big victorious return of Christ when you have the victorious return of Christ in you today. That power, that amazing power that God used to create the heavens and the earth, that amazing power that raised Christ from the dead, That's in you today for victory. The victories are yours today. Stop waiting for something that's available right now and ready for you to have. That is the free gift. Being on here is the cost. The ladder to God. Do you need healing? Do you need a fresh touch from God in a situation you're facing right now? Do you want to stop mucking around with your eternity? And finally give your life wholly and fully. Say, step off the world's ladder. Give your life to God for Him to work change within you from the inside out. Because He wants to build you into someone who can make a difference for His kingdom here on earth. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa.